Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week, my guest is Ed Moorish, award-winning comedy producer and owner of Led Mojo. Ed has produced some big names in radio comedy and podcasts, such as John Finnemore, Paul Sinner, Rachel Parrish, and Dara O'Brien. His latest series is called POV and started on BBC Radio 4 last week. It's a brand new sketch show that showcases comedy that began life online or on social media and mixes it with immersive sound design. I started by asking Ed about his love of comedy and where it all started.
It started just from being a huge fan. My dad had tapes of The Goon Show and Round the Horn. And then, you know, when I was about 10 or something, and he got tapes of On the Hour and Knowing Me, Knowing You and things like that. And so I just grew up in a household where on Friday nights while we're eating dinner, the news quiz was on or weekending. And so I fell out a little bit of listening to radio comedy because I moved into a halls in Manchester at university that didn't have very good reception for Radio 4, pre-digital. And then my brother phoned me and said, oh, there's this thing called the Sunday format, you'd really like it. And so I made an effort to move the antenna, sort of dangler wire out of the window so that at 11 o'clock I could hear this brilliant piece by John Morton and a bunch of other writers, and it was a parody of Sunday newspapers. And then it became a habit. But then you start tuning a bit early and you get book at bedtime and you stick around afterwards for today. And so you just become a listener. And then in 2002, I was working in another bit of the BBC and someone said, you're always banging on about radio comedy. You should go for that trainee job that's in Ariel, the in-house newspaper. And I did, and I got it.
Let's talk about POV, because that's the new series that's just started. There was a pilot middle of January. Tell me, what is POV and how you found the people who take part in it?
POV is a sketch show that takes people doing brilliant videos on the internet and asks them to make brilliant audio sketches. And then 23 different comedians, all of whom are doing brilliant things on Instagram and TikTok and X the Everything app. There was a specific call out by Radio 4, by Julie McKenzie, the commissioning editor of comedy at Radio 4, for give us a sketch show that we don't have. And it struck me that, you know, I make John Finnemore's Souvenir programme, which in terms of trad sketch shows is probably as good, if not better, than anything else. I mean, possibly any Radio 4 sketch show, just in terms of the quality of John's writing and the performances, and I'm okay, I guess. But I didn't want to try and do a trad sketch show. And we should say, since Series 9 was very experimental by John, and since then we've been doing one-offs, some of which are more or less experimental than others. It struck me that the way sketch shows get made for Radio 4 is, no matter what, you know, what generation we've been, and I've been doing this over 20 years, is that you pick a cast and then you give them some material, some of which they may have written themselves or between themselves, but also you'll have brought in some additional writers. And then you record it the way these things are always recorded. You come in at 2 o'clock, do a table read, you do an on mic, then you record it in front of an audience, you chop out the bits they didn't laugh at, and that's your show. And I've done many versions of that show before, but it struck me that it wasn't really serving a lot of the idiosyncratic voices that were funny because they were idiosyncratic. And a lot of the people who were coming across my timeline, I don't know if they could sight read a script. It also wasn't suiting comedians who could write brilliantly for their own voices, but not necessarily. It didn't come off the page for anyone else. I actually looked this up because I had the first version of this idea I pitched 6 years ago.
Wow.
It was called First Persons. It was all monologue based. It's sort of similar to Dan Mayer and Dave Quantick's One. Interestingly, I pitched some of the same people who went into the pitch for Front Facing, which then became POV in time for the pilot, because it struck me that sort of one-sided of a conversation is such a trad comedy structure. I mean, we lost Bob Newhart last year, and that's another one that my dad had the tapes. So I grew up listening to, you know, one half of the phone conversation between Walter Raleigh's off in America and someone back home finding out about tobacco. And those one-sided conversations you hear, you know, people like Rosie Holt doing, that's the same structure. So it's a really classic comedy structure. And so POV is a way to bring all these different voices into a single show. And we basically do that with sound design. There is a piece of music that runs through the whole thing, so it feels coherent, even though In the pilot, I think there are 7 people and most of them do a couple of sketches. They're quite short. But in the series, I don't think, apart from a couple of like specific running sketches, so the Squid have done one, Davina Bentley's done one, that where it's like there's 3 parts to the joke. It's just going to be like 11, 12 different people in every episode. Sketch shows thrive on difference. So it works really well because you go from Larry and Paul doing Broken News to Kalechia Carfor doing Sally and HR to Rachel Fairburn doing her obnoxious Your Mate character. The trick is to not put 2 similar things next to each other, whether that's 2 monologues by women, you'd want to split those up, or 2 sketches where it's a man doing 2 sides of the conversation, you'd want to split those up. Then thinking about the sound design, what fits them together and what makes each sketch distinct. So it has to sort of flow from one thing into the next without jarring. It's got to sort of make sense. And I found them just because I spend too much time on the internet. And I just found people on the X, the Everything app being funny and people on Instagram being funny. And now I'm on TikTok, which is obviously should not be legal because I'm in my 40s. That's, I should be on some sort of register for that. But
I went on it and quickly backed away. I was on it a day.
I'm there. Luckily, a lot of my friends are there. So people like Beth Black and Rosie's there. And you know, some of the people I work with on POV have huge audiences on TikTok. I just got there to put up clips of Non-Censored, which is another comedy show I produce, just like somewhere to let people know, you know, we record it in Riverside that we're recording on now. So there's clips of, we had Lewis McLeod on last week pretending to be Nigel Farage and saying he wants a pipeline from America to Britain for the oil. Then when it's pointed out that's not practical, he just went, well, maybe a straw then. It's just a funny clip. You put stuff like that and then you get a lot of people going, well, that wouldn't work. And, yeah, it's not Nigel Farage either. Hashtag satire. Hashtag comedy. It's not, anyway, but there are brilliant people out there and there didn't seem to me to be a way, you know, giving them their own show is a risk on the part.
It's a massive step, isn't it? Yeah.
And giving them all a one-off and then seeing which one, that's quite slow. Being able to say to people, do you want to do 3 sketches? It'll take you 2 weeks to write and 1 hour to record. We'll get it done and then you'll be on Radio 4 3 times in 6 weeks. It struck me as a really mutually beneficial way to get Radio 4 the new voices they wanted and to give these comedians experience of working in radio. I worked with one guy who's Jake Bardwaj. It's a very funny sketch act. I'd never heard of him until December, but he did a collaboration with The Squid, who I was working with that day, and I was looking at The Squid's page and they'd done a collaboration with Jake. They'd done a sketch with him. They do a podcast together now. I thought, oh, he's funny. So I just dropped him an email in the new year and said, do you want to be on this sketch show? And he's a TV producer by trade. His job. And he's just, like, we were having a long conversation afterwards. He's just blown away by, so you emailed me and then I wrote it and then we've recorded it start to finish. 3 weeks, I think. And in TV, he was thinking about the lead times.
That wouldn't happen, would it?
I mean, it's a sketch show, so it wouldn't happen on TV.
So,
anyway,
yeah, exactly. It wouldn't happen. No, it's too expensive on TV now,
but
isn't it?
At one of my kids' clubs, they used to have this saying about, they asked everyone to turn up 5 minutes early to help set up. And the phrase they had, which is genuinely good life advice, is if everyone does a little, no one does a lot. The idea that no one has to write a full show, no one has to put in the structure of it, you know, structure happens afterwards with me with a big pile of sketches and going, well, I've got a song from Charlene Kay, so I'm not going to put that in the same show as the song from Will Sebag Montefiore. I've got 2 Larry and Paul Broken News sketches. They're not going to go into the same episode. I've got 2 Get Ready With Me sketches. They go. So just that sort of procedural stuff. It's just me messing around with a spreadsheet in Excel.
You need to stop asking what the Henge is going to do for the community and start asking what the community is going to do for the Henge.
Disgusted, Anthony! Absolutely disgusted!
Okay, which part was quote-unquote offensive?
Your pet cat's died.
But obviously, I'm not going to say any of that to you, Nick.
Maybe I'll rupture my ACL. Sounds nice.
I don't think it's controversial to say those roles should have gone to babies.
They look like adults!
That's what I love about you, a sense of humour.
POV. A sketch show.
That's the art of the role of a comedy producer, isn't it? Knowing, particularly in a show like this, when you're working with some of the other people that you've worked with, and you've worked with so many people. You mentioned John Finnemore there, but Jeff Norcott, Paul Sinner, Dara O'Brien. I mean, big names. And a lot of these people write their own stuff, but it is mostly that one lead name. Mm. But with this show, it's like a huge jigsaw puzzle, isn't it? I guess that's one of your big roles, is knowing what will make a fully rounded episode when you've got so many different voices.
But to be honest, for the first 8 series of Souvenir Programme, it was the same issue that we would do 3 double recordings. And then John and I would, I mean, we literally had post-it notes that we would go, each sketch would get written on who was in them, the type of sketch. And then you'd go, right, keep the anthropomorphic animals apart. Obviously, all the Since You Ask Me's at the end of the show, they go apart. And we would lay out the series in post-it notes and cards. In fact, there's one sketch. I was looking at a running order, and I just texted John and went, why didn't we use such and such sketch? And he said, I thought we did. And I was like, no, it's not in there. Where did it? And I listened through to the entire, you know, all 3 hours, trying to see if I'd left it off the running order. And it turns out we dropped the card off the table. All right. That's a free hit for the next series. What a great writer John is, that you can lose a sketch you really love and not notice because there's so many other brilliant sketches that you really love. And it's the same process. And everyone bought into that. I asked them all to do the sort of thing they do online, no matter what that was. So Charlene Kay is a brilliant American musician and comic. She went viral for her Every Taylor Swift Song Ever. She's doing 3 for this series. And that are brand new, because everything has to be brand new. You know, if they said online, oh, I'm in POV, and then they listen to POV and they're like, well, I've heard that, so I didn't want that. I also didn't want anyone to listen to POV and go, oh, I really like Charlene Kay, and then go and listen and go, oh, it's just the same stuff. So you don't want to disappoint anyone in either direction. So Larry and Paul, it's 2 brand new Broken News. Exploding Heads, it's a brand new Colin from Portsmouth. Rosie Holt has done the style of interview she does with Sky News videos, but she's done it with the Today programme, amongst some other things she's done. Will Sebag Montefiore, he's done an interview with President Trump during the inauguration. But so he's just taken words and asked questions, so out of context, it's funny. And so everyone is just trying to faithfully replicate what they do online, in video, in audio. And I think because they aren't used to audio, they're willing to accept direction of going, I think there are too many characters in this, or I don't think this works. Or especially in the pitching stage, I'd go, oh, here's an idea for a sketch. And you'd go, I can see how that works visually, how are you going to do it in audio without captions? There's a brilliant American, I guess you'd call her a content creator, called Miss Frazzled, who does these gentle parenting sketches where she gentle parents like your uncle who doesn't like that your nephew has painted nails, but she talks to them like it's a toddler. And she's done a couple of sketches for this series. But the thing I couldn't get round, we had to have a conversation about, was you can put gentle parenting your racist uncle or whatever it is. You can't do that in audio. It's clunky. The sort of title doesn't work. So for the first time, she's talking to another character in that character she does. So she says, oh, are they giving you trouble? Don't worry, I'll talk to them. Yeah, just that little bit of thought as to how do you make this work in audio. And everyone was just like super open to feedback on their ideas, on their scripts, on their performance, because that's one of the things that online creators don't typically get. They don't typically get direction. They put it out and people either like it or they don't.
Yeah,
and obviously, if you've got a huge hit rate, like some of them do, that's a good sign that your instincts are normally pretty good. But I did a series with Kevin Eldon and Stuart Lee called Poet's Tree, which was Kevin's Paul Hamilton character as a pretentious Islington poet. And there's a bit of me, like if this was 2006, I'm 26 years old and I'm working with formative comedians who I grew up watching in Stuart Lee and Kevin Eldon. And you're just going, what right do I have to tell these people that I think they should do what they're doing differently? There was one point where I told Kevin that I thought he needed to slow down and he didn't, and we had this long back and forth and, you know, shall we try it this way? And Stuart backed me up, so that was helpful in the structure. But what I realised is there was no offence taken on Kev's part. He just genuinely wanted to do the best job. And you realise that good people don't mind feedback because they want it to be good. And if there's an idea of how it could be done differently or better, they'd be willing to think about it before reaching a decision. You know, people who like feedback generally create better work because they're not just locked into their one idea of, I'm going to make this it's going to sound like this or going to look like this. And I don't care what anyone else says. You've got to sort of, I mean, that said, there are a lot of sketches that I just went, yeah, that's fine, just do that. It's fine, don't need to tell you how to do it. Which, another thing is that all these people perform. There was a degree to which I didn't need to direct Rachel Fairbairn because she does that character online a lot. She knows the character better than me. I've booked her because I like the way she does that character. It was a really nice collaborative process, but with a starting point of really strong ideas from the comics involved.
Time's coming up to 11 o'clock. Let's have some callers. Colin from Portsmouth is on the line. Hello, Colin.
I am disgusted, Anthony, absolutely disgusted with the lack of policing in this country. I read this morning that a girl of no fixed abode wandering through the woods has broken into the house of some peaceful, law-abiding bears who were out on their daily walk. And she set up camp in their home claiming squatters' rights.
Sorry, bears? Is this the story of Goldilocks, Colin?
Oh, you'd love to say that crimes are all made up, wouldn't you? It helps you wet, lifty, liberal metropolitan elites sleep at night.
Speaking of sleep, that's what she did, isn't it, Colin? Sleep in their beds. Not sure she should be vilified so much by the press for the crime of being a bit tired.
Not before she stole all their food. Those bears were only out to let it cool down. I mean, I grant you, most of us would just sit on our phones for 5 minutes while waiting, or simply blow on it. But should they be punished?
Where do you see the future of radio comedy? How do you see it evolving with some of the changes in linear radio, with the rise of podcasts, with visualization of podcasts? How do you see that's going to affect radio comedy?
I am not a fan of chatcasts. That's just my personal preference. And one of the joys of a career in creative industries is getting to make stuff that you like. But I think it'd be foolish to acknowledge that they're not popular. My query is, or my concern is, that scripted radio comedy has been a training ground for generations of comedians in this country. It's, you know, that sort of bridging point between live work and, you know, this online work and TV, because it's the first time you're told, no, it doesn't quite work that way, and, you know, here's a deadline and here's some money in order for you to meet that deadline. And if that goes away, then I don't know what it gets replaced with. And given how hard it is to launch a podcast without somebody that's already famous, I worry where the next generation of famous comedians are going to come from. Because if they're not being put in front of audiences, and audiences aren't finding out they like them, and someone who just looks at download numbers and goes, we do better when we have someone who's been on telly, and you don't book less famous comics as guests, we're pulling up the ladder behind ourselves. I've got a sitcom coming this year with a writer who doesn't have an agent and has never had a thing before. He's got, you know, bits of additional material. So these things are still getting bought. And I think there's room for, I mean, one of the joys of audio is there's room for every kind of show. One of my concerns about where we're going with chatcast and visualization is we're all chasing the same algorithm. There is a way to make it look that the algorithm likes. There are things to avoid. So there's all these things that we're doing to optimize the algorithm's favorability towards our videos. But the more we do that, that's more what the audience expects. And anything different gets rejected because it's not what they expected. I made a show 2015 called Lemsis's Homecoming, and it was nominated for a Rose Door. It's a really good show. It might be the best half hour of sound I've made, just in terms of the flow of it and the richness. And we recorded it in Addis Ababa. There's loads of Ethio jazz, like linking all the segments. There's interviews, there's bits out on the street, and you can hear all these sort of people speaking Amharic. And it's a beautiful piece about belonging and feeling at home and family and all these wonderful things. And it got one of the worst audience scores of anything I've ever made, because it went out in the 6:30 slot and people were expecting I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue or John Finnemore's Souvenir Programme. And it wasn't that. It was poetry and spoken word and conversation. I think that show was really good. So did the critics. So did the Rose Door judges. So I'm pretty confident it was a good show, and definitely not deserving of the worst audience score.
But in the wrong place.
Yeah. Since then, Len's been moved to 11:30. So my concern with the again, going back to the algorithm, is that we're all trying to make everything the same. And I think if you stop expecting audio comedy to be scripted and to be rehearsed and performed and retaken and edited and to be a sort of coherent product, not only do you lose the training element of it, as well as the really good product, but people will become less familiar with the end result and therefore think it's wrong.
It's lovely to hear you talk with such passion about what you feel the future of radio comedy is, because it's something very dear to my heart.
I would say, you know, Radio 4, Audible are still doing stuff. You know, Audible spent a lot of money on Green Wing. That cast was not cheap. I don't think I'm breaking any NDAs by saying that. Obviously, Audible's MO is headline-grabbing stuff that makes you pay for a subscription. Radio 4 is still commissioning stuff like POV, which half of the seven people in the pilot, four had never been on Radio 4 before. And of the other three, two had been on panel shows and one had acted but never performed their own material. So this is, it is a new talent format that doesn't feel like it because of the, you know, the richness of the sound design and the way we've made it try to feel coherent and not here's their bit and here's their bit. It is that, but it doesn't, I don't think it feels like that. And they will commission new sitcoms and they'll, you know, the Delightful Sausage, their Icklewick FM was co-commissioned with TV, so there's a bit of desire to keep the pipeline going. But I'm also aware that there are budgetary pressures on Radio 4. And also, chatcasts are popular. You know, I'm in a minority. I look at the top 10 comedy podcasts and go, but these are just chat shows. No one says, oh, I loved comedy growing up. I never missed an episode of Wogan. Because that's not a comedy show. That's an entertainment show.
No, it's an entertainment show that sometimes was funny, but it's not written as a comedy show.
I watched Wogan. I liked it. It was a good show. But it's not, compared to the other stuff I was watching. You know, I was watching Ross Abbott on a Saturday night. That's comedy. Hello, hello. That, you know, these things, there is a difference in genre. Yeah. So I would like to see Apple Podcasts and Spotify introduce an entertainment category separate to comedy and keep comedy for scripted stuff and keep entertainment for the chattier end.
A big thank you to Ed for being my guest this week. And it was fascinating to hear his take on the future of radio comedy. You can find out more about Led Mojo on their website, ledmojo.co.uk. And you can hear POV on BBC Radio 4 on Thursdays at 6:30 or on BBC Sounds. You have a week to get your entries for the ARIAs in. The closing date is a minute to midnight on Wednesday, the 12th of February. Go to radioacademy.org/ARIAs for more details. We've got a new Foot in the Door event on sale on the website at Queen's University Belfast for the 19th of March. Go to radioacademy.org/training to find out more and book your tickets. And keep an eye on the website for announcements of guest speakers for the day. Next week, we're meeting the fellows again, and my guest is Radio 1 Extra's breakfast producer, Adele Cross. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your pods. We really appreciate it. And I'll see you next week.